When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Take on this Monday. Christine Williamson here for Molly Esteban. You didn't mention that you're in the 305 right now. We can see your background.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you know, when I'm here, it's just special times. It's just special times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Shay, see the background, Shay. You see the background?
I see it.
It's calling me. It's calling me. Yes.
if you don't mind me
all
asking,
is good.
If you don't mind me asking, Stephen A., what's really going on?
No comment. Okay. Okay. I'm in Miami.
It looks like a good time. We're all jealous. We had a really great weekend, so let's get to it. As you mentioned, Anthony Edwards went crazy against the Nuggets in Game 1, scoring a playoff career high and a franchise postseason record, 43 points, to help the Timberwolves take Game 1 from the defending champs, 106-99. In Denver, Game 2 was tonight. Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins had some high praise for Ant and the T-Wolves. Take a listen.
I got Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves winning this series. I mean, I've seen enough. This brother is he is so sensational, it's hard to put into words. This brother is the truth and a half. He is the real deal.
I'm going to tell you this. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to the NBA Finals. I know that much. As long as they're healthy, that wasn't a fluke what we saw last night. This is who they've been all season long. A bunch of dogs, some nasty wool.
All right, Shannon, I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you think the Ant will lead the Timberwolves past the Nuggets?
Well, before I give you my answer, I'm not surprised that the Timberwolves played the Nuggets like they did and they won. Stephen, if you go back and look at all the games last year, they were very, very close. And what got the Nuggets over the hump was their ability to close ball games in clutch situations. Last five minutes of the game, game within 5 points. And if you remember that game, I think game 5 in which the Nuggets came back and won, Ant-Man went crazy in that game. And so he feels very, very confident. This team feels very confident that they can play the Nuggets. And I think what's happening is that the Nuggets keep getting off to those slow starts. And they were able to get off to those slow starts again. The Lakers and come back and work their way back into the ball game. And even when they worked their way back into the ball game, Ant-Man had another gear that he could get to. All 30 and 40 point games aren't created equal because you can score 30 and not be impactful. And you look at Ant-Man, you can see he got 43 and they were impactful. Every run that the Nuggets had down the stretch, he suppressed it by himself. And then he got Karl Anthony Towns, Cat, who was in foul trouble for a large portion of the ball game, he got him to come in, and then Naz Reid gave you 14 points in the fourth quarter. I'm still going to stick with the Nuggets to win this game because I still think they're battle-tested and they know how to win close ball games, although Saturday was not an indication of who they really are. I like the Minnesota, the way they played, but I still trust Yoke, and I think Jamal Murray will pick it up. He'll get going a lot sooner because he got it going midway through, Stephen A., but it wasn't enough. He needs to get going early. 0 points in the first half. Yoke gave you what Yoke gave you. But I was surprised, Stephen A., it was a long time since I saw Nikola Jokic not have a double-double, and he was inefficient. So those big bodies bothered him. They started with Cat on him, and then you saw Gobert lurking to when he got past a Cat to be there to make him alter his shots. I'm still going to say it's going to be the Nuggets in 7, but they got their work cut out for them.
I don't blame you for that, Shannon. I just don't agree with you at this particular moment in time based off of what I'm seeing. I recognize the trepidation is valid, the apprehension is valid, but I'm just of the mindset that Minnesota's going to win this series. I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to go so far as saying they're going to the finals, even though I think there's a pretty good chance that they're doing it, but I want to see the Dallas-Oklahoma City series unfold before I'm willing to make that proclamation. In Denver, the reigning defending NBA champions are something to get through before we're going to go that route. Here's where I would tell you why. I think Minnesota needs to be favored. Everything is not always about the numbers, but I'll give you numbers first. Do you know in six playoff games, Anthony Edwards is averaging 33.5 against Denver? Last year's playoffs, five-game series, game one of this series, averaging 33.5 against these brothers. Giving it to them. That's number one. Number two, you see the big bodies that they're able to throw at Jokic. Nobody else can do that in the league, but the Minnesota Timberwolves can. And I thought it was a brilliant move on a part of their coaching staff to insert Karl Anthony Towns on Jokic, because even though he doesn't have the girth, the mass, he does have the height, and he has the quickness of foot to stay in front of Jokic and make sure there's some level of resistance, and you've got Rudy Gobert helping on the back end in case Jokic gets closer and closer to the basket. Jokic is not the most athletic dude in the world in terms of his hops I'm talking about here. Yeah. I've religiously made the statement, the brother can't jump onto a curb, and you still can't stop him. He's absolutely amazing. Well, in Minnesota's case, it's a bit different because it would be helpful if he could jump onto a curb. You need some hops against Karl Anthony Towns and against Rudy Gobert. And the fact that he doesn't have that, his girth, while formidable and obviously potent enough for him to drop 30-plus, the bottom line is he can't be what we're accustomed to seeing him be. Now we look at the rest of the roster, and we have to take into account the fact that Jamal Murray's not 100%. Jeff Green and Bruce Brown are no longer there. And Bruce Brown could have been incredibly helpful if he was on this squad, because you wouldn't see Ant-Man potentially abusing the Denver Nuggets the way he did Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's to be respected. I'm not disrespecting the brother, but he can't handle Anthony Edwards. Jamal Murray can't handle Anthony Edwards. We saw how he crossed over Aaron Gordon. I don't think Aaron Gordon really, really wants that smoke on a night-in, night-out basis. We got to take that into consideration as well. And then, Shannon, check this out. I don't know if you noticed. In the fourth quarter, just the fourth quarter, Shannon, Anthony Edwards in the fourth quarter this postseason, 10.8 points per game, leads the NBA. Field goal percentage shooting, 69%, a minimum of 20 field goal attempts, leading the NBA in the playoffs. Three-point percentage, 57%, leading the NBA. Free throws, 14 of 14, 100%. This is him in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter of these playoffs.
Great.
This is some unreal stuff that we're looking at. A 22-year-old with that athleticism, the crossover dribble, the ball handling ability, the shot making ability, the fierceness, the ferocity, all of that. And last point, Jokic, did you see when, I think it was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, if I remember correctly, somebody walked over to Jokic and leaned in his ear. And when he leaned back to listen to them, he was bobbing his head. Shannon, he looked like he was doing sprints. You understand? And was about to collapse. That's how tired he was.
Right.
They don't have anybody to offset him. He has to be in the game. And in the game, he can't run up and down going up against those two. And I didn't even bring up Naz Reid to boot. Denver is in some trouble. Make no mistake about it. I think Minnesota is going to win this series.
I can't say that I disagree with you, Stephen A., and I think the thing is that Jokic got his 32 points, but it took him 25 shots to get it. Normally what we see, what makes Nikola Jokic is so great is that the efficiency in which he plays with, and not only is he giving you 30, 35, Stephen A., he's giving you 15, 16 rebounds. He's giving you 15, 16 assists. If you can keep Nikola Jokic to 32 points, let him say he gets 30 points. We'll have to give him, let's say he's in his 30, but it's taking him 25, 27, 30 shots to get that. And he doesn't get a double-double. He's not giving you double-digit rebounds, which means a lot of those double digits, he's giving you 5, 6, 8 offensive rebounds to go along with the 7, 8 defensive rebounds. And he's not getting anyone else involved. Now therein lies the rub, especially if Jamal Murray can't get it going a lot sooner than what he does. And if you go back and look at it, what team has given, outside of what we saw on Saturday, what team gave Nikola Jokic the most problems? The LA Lakers when they were in the bubble, when they had their twin towers, JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard.
Yep.
You see what happens?
You got
one guy banging on him, and then you got JaVale McGee lurking, or you have Anthony Davis lurking. So you got three guys 6'10 or above that you can rotate, and each guy had a different skill set so they could bother him. You start off with Karl Anthony Towns, you come with a Naz Reid, you go with a Rudy Gobert lurking in the back. Yes, they got their work cut out for them, but I believe Jamal Murray will figure this out because Michael Porter Jr. has been Michael Porter Jr. He's damn near automatic from the three. They just need Jamal Murray to get going a little sooner and become a little more efficient.
Well, remember, Jamal Murray isn't 100% healthy.
And speaking I couldn't tell against the Lakers in game five.
Well, I'll let you think about that statement you just threw out there. How come you couldn't tell against the Lakers? Maybe you should think about that. You said, I'm saying, you just told on yourself. You just told on yourself with the damn Lakers, Shay Shay. That's what you did, okay? And by the way, since you brought up the big men, the Dwight Howards of the world, you know, the Marcus Cousins of the world, maybe some of these teams need some girth, some big bodies, particularly come postseason time to be able to bang. Don't tell me them brothers don't belong in the NBA. I don't blame Dwight Howard for being on social media talking about Lakers bring me back or whatever. They could have used some additional big body help, especially since you didn't have Vanderbilt, personally.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let's leave that conversation there because you guys are mentioning the Lakers. We've got something else to get to that went down on Friday. The Lakers fired coach Darvin Ham after two seasons. Ham's had 2 years remaining on his contract, and he went 90-74 during the regular season and 9-12 in the postseason, plus two play-in tournament wins since being hired to replace Frank Vogel in 2022. Now, LeBron James has played for three different teams and nine different head coaches in his career, and now the Lakers will be looking for his 10th head coach. Stephen A., I'm going to ask you this. Should Darvin Ham have been fired?
Absolutely not. He got screwed. It was the wrong decision. In two seasons, he's going to the Western Conference Finals. He's going to the playoffs twice. They were better this year than they were last year. They just ran into the reigning defending NBA champions. And last year, they ran into the best team in basketball who ended up being the champions. That's the only team that's knocked off the Lakers. If that's the cause for being fired, I don't know what to say about that. Listen. No coach is perfect. I'm quite sure folks can point to, you know, things that he could have done differently schematically, rotations, adjustments, play calling. We've heard this about many, many coaches over the years. But my problem is, look at the roster itself. It was problematic. You had shooters who couldn't defend, defenders who couldn't shoot. You're Darvin Ham. You've got to throw and insert guys into the lineup for defensive purposes and then exchange them for guys with offensive prowess because that's what you needed. Very few could do both outside of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so these are the kind of things that you have to deal with. And I think that at the end of the day, for Darvin Ham to be gone after just two seasons, it just leaves a lot of question marks about the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm certainly not going to question Jeannie Buss. The buck does stop with her. But Rob Pelinka is running basketball operations. I personally like Rob. There's a lot of people who don't. There's a lot of people who felt like, you know, with him at the helm, this is exactly the kind of stuff that you would see transpiring. When everything is good, all right, it's good. When things are bad, it's always somebody else's fault as opposed to his own, particularly with roster assemblage and what have you. Think Russell Westbrook being inserted and, you know, but who went to Washington? Alex Caruso left for Chicago. Kyle Kuzma, Washington. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Denver. Alex Caruso ultimately ends up in Chicago, all because you wanted Russell Westbrook there. That was a Rob Pelinka decision, along with a couple of the players. So I just look at it from that standpoint, and I'm like, it's a damn shame. I'm not saying it was a perfect job. I'm not saying he couldn't be critiqued. I'm not saying there are things that couldn't be done better, Shannon. But for him to lose his job because you lost in the playoffs to the Denver Nuggets, it just leaves a sour taste in my mouth. It's BS. It really is.
I agree with everything you said, Stephen A. Darvin Ham is not there because the two best players on the team no longer believed in him. That's why he's gone. It's not his fault. He didn't want Russell Westbrook. He wanted to bring Russell Westbrook off the bench like the Clippers. They told him no. I'm sure most teams, no one, with the exception of Anthony Davis and LeBron James, let me repeat, I want to make sure I'm clear. I want to make sure I'm crystal clear, abundantly clear. No one thought Russell Westbrook would work in L.A. except two people, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That's why he's there. But look at what you had to give up to get him. And so now you depleted your draft capital. You give up integral pieces to make your strength of your team. So now he's there. That is a complete disaster. Now you don't have draft picks. You didn't have draft pick for the last 3 years. And so now what is Darvin Ham supposed to do? Is he the greatest X's and O's? No. But I agree with you. I don't believe he should have lost his job. Those guys wanted Russ. You got Russ. And so when I give you what you want, and when it doesn't work, I got to bear the blame. How does that work? He went to the playoffs twice, and you're right, Stephen A. They lost to the Nuggets. I believe they go to the Western Conference Finals if they play, in the NBA Finals if they play anybody else other than the Nuggets last year. But that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. At some point in time, now, this goes back. You could have had Jason Tatum. You could have had De'Aaron Fox. You chose Lonzo Ball. That started it. Mm-hmm. So at some point in time, we've got to stop blaming general managers and coaches. Players, what role did you play in this? I mean, the past couple of years, LeBron's been hurt. AD's been hurt. Is that the general manager's fault? Is that the coach's fault? No. At some point in time, it comes a point in time that players play and coaches coach. And I'm not saying Darvin Ham is ever going to turn out to be, hell, he might not even turn out to be Ty Lue. And we know Ty Lue. That was the first mistake. That's who you should have hired from the jump.
That's right.
But you tried to give him a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year option instead of giving him a 5-year deal like all the other coaches get. Yes.
They tried to pick his staff. They tried to pick his staff.
Genie.
Right.
I love you to death. Don't know you, but I love you. Love what your father built with the Lakers. But that's the problem. You can't bring someone in. If you bring them in, you got to empower them. Let them choose their staff. You can't have placements in there because they're thinking you're putting people in place so you can spy on them, so you can have intel on what they're doing. It doesn't work like that. But no, I do not believe Darvin Ham should have been fired. Yeah, some of his rotations were terrible, Stephen A. Yeah, there's timeouts that he took. He should have burned the timeouts. I get all of that. But he's a young coach. Yes. They're asking him to be Coach Auerbach, a Phil Jackson, a Pat Riley within the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, this is the one thing I want to say. Like, you don't know Genie. I know Genie. I love Jeannie to death, you know, and I've gotten to know Linda Rambis. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. I get what I'm saying, and a lot of people are desensitized to the challenges that Jeannie Buss has, being in L.A., representing the Lakers organization, succeeding her brother, who succeeded her father, and we know what her father meant to the game of basketball.
Yes.
Dr. Buss, the man himself, and we know that the person who is running the Lakers is the rightful person to be running the Lakers, which is Jeannie Buss. There is no question about
correct.
That.
I agree.
If I could respectfully give one critique to her, and she is a wonderful woman, I will tell you this, because she cares about the players, she cares about making LeBron James and them happy. You know, it's Tinseltown, it's L.A., that's their claim to fame, Laker Nation. The accountability has to be equally spread.
Yes.
You can't have these changes and then all of a sudden Frank Vogel has to go after winning you a title, because you made the changes after you won the title. I mean, you won the title and then made the changes. What'd you make the changes for? You're the reigning defending champions. Stick with what you got. They didn't do that, right? You got to spend a little money. You got some partners. Spend a little money, all right? Steve Ballmer's a billionaire. Is your competition in town or what have you. You know he's going to spend the money. Another team's going to spend the money. You got to spend some more money, okay? But here's the bottom line. Frank Vogel's gone. And then after that, Darvin Ham comes in, and he's gone. I'm not asking for Rob Pelinka to be fired. I'm not asking for Rob Pelinka to be gone. What I would say to Rob Pelinka is, yo, what's your level of culpability? And when do you stand up and acknowledge culpability on your part that's equal to that of the coach? If the coach gets to walk out the door, you walk out the door. And, of course, he wouldn't do that to himself, but that's where Genie is supposed to come in. Genie is supposed to come in and say, hey, excuse me, how many times are we going to blame somebody else? Magic abruptly walked out the damn door. Magic quit last game of the damn season in the damn hallway of the Crypto.com arena, which was Staples Center at that moment in time, okay? I'm about to go on vacation, Shay Shay. I don't know if you know this story. I'm about to go on vacation, bro. I'm literally en route to a flight. I got to stop, turn around, and come back before I went to the islands because this man quit. It just quit. Didn't tell LeBron, didn't tell anybody. But then Magic came on First Take and called out Rob Pelinka. So then now you move on. So now Rob Pelinka's at the helm. Frank Vogel's there, okay? And then Frank Vogel's gone. And that didn't end ceremoniously, okay? That ended very unceremoniously, especially if you talk to Frank Vogel. He thought he got screwed over. And so now we go here, we move past that, and we get to Darvin Ham. And in his second year, he's gone just like that?
Yeah.
I mean, But Rob Pelinka still stays there. And I'm like, wait a minute. You did assemble this roster, and I'm not knocking you for it. You kept them together. But how do we keep pointing the finger at the lower tier dudes and not that man who everyone knows? You got the job because of your relationship. You were Kobe Bryant's agent. You built the level of trust. Kobe, I can tell you right now, Kobe revered Rob Pelinka, loved him to death, and trusted him completely. Let me be very clear about that, okay? And as a result, if you know anything about Genie, if Kobe got that kind of love and faith in you, God rest his soul, Genie gonna have that kind of love and faith in you. At some point in time, you can't live off of that, Rob Pelinka.
No.
You gotta do the job. You gotta do the job. Or you gotta at least let others complete the job instead of being out after a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If Genie, if she's looking at it, we keep firing coaches. We keep bringing in players and players. The one common denominator is the guy at the top. Is that you, Rob? At some point in time, you're going to have to deliver. And one championship is not nearly enough. But also, LeBron and AD bears culpability in this. Because if they wanted Frank Vogel, Frank Vogel would have been in that seat. If they wanted Darvin Ham, now, they might have gotten the job because they wanted them to be there. But they didn't keep the job because they didn't want them to stay there. That's abundantly clear. Because the one thing I do know about the NBA, stars run the league more so than any other sport. NBA superstars run the NBA. If they want a coach, they're going to get said coach. If they want said player, for the most part, they're going to move heaven and earth to try to get said player. And that's what's happening with the Lakers. Darvin Ham is gone because the two best players no longer had faith in him, no longer had confidence in him. Stars, but a lot of this is their fault.
Stars run the league, except in Miami. When LeBron first got to Miami, you know what I'm saying? Eric Spoelstra, you know, Pat Riley, like, uh-uh. Ain't nothing happening to Eric Spoelstra. This is my town. And they might have Wade County and all of this other stuff, but I'm here, South Beach, baby. I'm telling you right now, I don't give a damn what you say. That brother named Pat Riley's in those suits in his 70s, Pat Riley run this town. Make no mistake about it.
Remember D. Wade left and went to Chicago before he came back from Cleveland. Remember that? So it's abundantly clear who run the Miami
Heat. Chicago.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and First Take will celebrate all month long. Today, we have a special message from ESPN's Mina Kimes.
There have been a lot of Asian American athletes that have inspired me over the years, but one that comes to mind, being someone who covers football, is Steelers wide receiver Hines Ward. For a number of reasons. He was born in South Korea, he's half Korean like me, and he's been very outspoken about the challenges of growing up biracial, both in Korea and in America. He's done a lot of activism in the area as well, which has been really cool to watch over the course of his career. I always looked up to him growing up. I still look up to him. He's an incredible person and a role model.
Thanks, Mina. In his 21 seasons in the NBA, LeBron James has played for 3 different teams and 9 different head coaches. And now the Lakers will be looking for his 10th head coach. Michael Wilbon had some strong words for what Darvin Ham's firing means related to LeBron James's GOAT status. Take a listen.
If you want to be the GOAT, you want to tell everybody you're the GOAT, you're the greatest player of all time, you want to have it on podcasts, you want to have it, then take accountability like one. Do that. Cryptically or backhandedly on Darvin Ham. I don't want to hear from anybody in a Laker uniform that the primary problem was Darvin Ham. Yes, LeBron and Anthony Davis were great in that series, but they weren't good enough against Denver. So take that on. GOAT carries responsibility. I don't see it.
All right, Shannon, we know he's your guy. Does 10 head coaches hurt LeBron's case for being the GOAT?
No, I think it helps his. I think it helps his case. I wish LeBron could have had Eric Spoelstra his entire career. I wish he could have had a Ty Lue, although Ty Lue isn't much older. Hell, I'm not sure Eric Spoelstra is much older than LeBron. You look at these guys that we consider to go. You look at Michael. He had Phil for, what, at least a decade. You look at Kobe, and he had Phil for probably at least a decade. You look at, with the exception of only a handful of guys, Magic and what he had Pat Riley for at least a decade. I think for me, Stephen A., And I agree with a lot of what Michael Wilbon said. And that's what's most frustrating to me is that. But I also look at it through LeBron's prism. And he said, what I'm saying is that I don't believe the guy that's in charge is good enough to put me and this team in position to compete consistently to win a championship. And I'm not so sure how long LeBron James has respect. I think the only guy that he's really had respect for an extended period of time was T. Lou. Because LeBron believed that, like, he didn't create the game of basketball, but Dr. Naismith handed him the script, and he's the overseer of it. So, and he is brilliant. His mind is brilliant, Stephen. And there's no denying that. They're not. You nor I can name 5 people that have a better basketball IQ that played the game than LeBron James. But still,
I cannot.
But still, there comes a level of responsibility when you play that you have to take on some ownership when things go bad. Because when things go good, we give you all the credit. We forget that there are other 11 other guys that play. We give you the credit. So when things go bad, you have to take ownership in some of that bad. And I'm with Michael Wilbon. I wish he would come out and say one time, say, you know what? I need to be better. I've got to be better. There's much more expected of me, demanded of me, and I demanded of myself to get this job done. And I'm not going to put it on all the coaches because he does bear some culpability, Stephen A., but it's hard for me to say, I'm surprised he got that many championships. That just goes to show you how great he is. What other player you know can have that many coaches and have the level of accolades and achievements as one GOAT James?
You are wrong, Shay Shay. Got this one wrong. Way wrong. You understand? Way wrong. You understand? I might call in the nightcap just to tell you this stuff. I don't know what the hell is coming out of your mouth. Oh, no, 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 no. He doesn't get away with this. Let me be very, very clear. You are absolutely right. LeBron James is a basketball savant. He's one of the most brilliant basketball minds. He's a basketball genius. Makes no mistake about it. That has a lot to do with his greatness. But with greatness comes great responsibility. So, absolutely. Shannon, I don't even want to see me on a full screen, y'all. I want to see Shannon while I'm talking this whole time. I want to see this man's face right here. Okay? He ain't getting away with this, all right? Shannon Sharp, my brother. Yes. So, you're brilliant enough to know when a coach ain't the right dude. But you weren't brilliant enough when he got selected? You had something to do with that, too. You understand what I'm saying? So let's take that into consideration. Let me throw the coaches by you. LeBron James, Paul Silas, Brendan Malone, interim for 18 games. Mike Brown, 5 seasons. Eric Spoelstra, 4 seasons. David Blatt, 1 season. Okay? Ty Lue, 2+ seasons. Luke Walton, 1 season. Frank Vogel, 3 seasons. Darvin Ham, these last 2 seasons. I'm going to take out the first 4 for you. I'll do that for you, Shannon. Okay? David Black comes there. We were hearing that he wasn't the right man for the job. You wanted Ty Lue. Originally, Ty Lue was supposed to have the job, but David Griffin, that was his choice. He couldn't give it to him because obviously you had ownership who wanted his guy Blatt up in there, and they had to wait a year. You LeBron James, okay? Guess what? You could have influenced that decision a bit earlier. You didn't have to have that on your docket, but you did it. You come to Los Angeles when Frank Vogel was there and they decided to move, you know, Kyle Kuzma and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Just won the chip for you now. Just won a chip for you now. And Alex Caruso was left walking out the door because of the money. Well, guess what? LeBron James, where's your influence there? You could have made sure, listen, we good with what we got. We just won a damn chip. But that was your boy. Because, you know, Russ lives out here in the offseason. You understand what I'm saying? You know, they meet up in the offseason and stuff like that, drink their wine together and all of this other stuff, all right? I'm sorry. Was that, Shannon, did I speak out of turn? Am I snitching?
Am I snitching?
I just want to know, right? I mean, we talking NBA, right? So yes, that's what yes. happened. You didn't have to let that happen. But you did, okay? By the way, and now it's the Darvin Ham situation. And let's not forget, listen, we can't sit up here and act and say it's a stars league and watch this man literally don't accept accountability for any kind of decisions that's made. He has nothing to do with it. If you listen to LeBron James in his camp, it's got nothing to do with who the head coach is. Got nothing to do with who the firing of a head coach. I mean, this brother is so innocent, he put Gandhi to shame. This is how they try to come across. And then we say something like that. It's not a crime. It's not a crime for you to be one of the best players to have ever played the game and say, yo, man, this is not the right guy for the guy. It's not the right guy for the job. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm not saying he can't be a head coach. But here, we needed a new voice. Here, we needed something different. Here, this wasn't working. You don't hear him commenting about it. And then when other people comment about it, we're the villains. We're the villains. And so I look at it from the standpoint that you can say what you say, but all of that plays a role in GOAT. When we talk about Michael Jordan, I'm going to lean on you. And this is where I got you, Shay Shay. This is where I got you. You see, that damn 3-time Super Bowl champion that you are, that Hall of Famer that you are, do you know what, Shannon? Do you know that I have heard you say close to nothing about your greatness as a player? You always talk about how formidable you were as a leader. You always talked about accountability. You always talk about how you wouldn't ask anybody to do anything that they knew you wouldn't do. You always talked about how, oh, it would have been a problem if this happened in my locker room and that happened in my locker room and that happened in my locker room. You never, as great as you were as a tight end in the National Football League, and I'm proud of you, I'm proud to have you as my teammate, as great as you were, you never talk about that, ever. You always bring up leadership, always, when it comes to you. You're a Hall of Famer. Don't let me call your brother Sterling on you. You know he likes to agree with me, right? You know he likes to agree with me. He'll agree with me on this one. You know what I'm saying? You talk about leadership. You don't talk about your abilities and exploits. You talk about leadership. So my point is, where does that apply with LeBron? I'm not saying he wasn't a leader. I'm not saying he hasn't been a leader. I'm certainly not questioning his greatness. But when Mike Wilbon says, you know what it took? You know how long I've known Mike Wilbon? You know how much Mike Wilbon loves LeBron James and appreciates LeBron James? Do you know what it took for Michael Wilbon to go on national television and call LeBron James out like that? Anthony Davis is a Chicago boy. If you know anything about Wilbon, the one time you get to question, you know, his objectivity is when it comes to anybody from Chicago. Because that brother, if you're from Chicago, he going to find a silver lining. That's Wilbon. Do you have any idea what it took for him to go on national television and say what he said about those two brothers? Because it was necessary. Because there's no way that Darvin Ham is gone if Anthony Davis and LeBron James wants him to stay. And
everybody
Anthony Davis speaking out against him, and LeBron James not speaking, and LeBron James not speaking up for him. Excuse me, all of those things come along with critiquing one's GOAT status as well, because the acrimony, the friction, the divide, the fragmentation, all of those things play a role in contributing to one's greatness or lack thereof. Maybe that's the reason LeBron has four rings instead of six.
Steven, I agree with a lot of what you said. Every voice doesn't carry the same weight in the locker room. Anthony Davis and LeBron James knows that. Anthony Davis knows that when he says what he says, everybody is listening to what he says, and it goes up. You know, a lot of times they say sound goes up also, because Linda Rambis can hear that. Rob Pelinka can hear that.
Yes, she
can. But Stephen, here's why I push back on you when you say he wanted those coaches fired, but he didn't see that in the beginning. It's kind of like a relationship. And you and I have both been in relationships, and we've been out of relationships. And a lot of times in the beginning, what we see, we don't see. We see something different once we get in. I'm not naive enough. I'm not foolish enough to sit here and say none of the relationships were my fault, were not my problem. It was. I bear a lot of culpability, but I'm man enough to own that. And I think the thing is, a lot of times what we see with athletes, they're not men enough to own their culpability in this. LeBron James bears some culpability in this, and rightfully so. Whether he says it publicly or not, he knows he can't be without fault in none of these nine. So all nine. So I've been in a relationship, let's just say five times. All five breakups are my point are somebody else's fault. You've been married six times, and every time you got a divorce, it's on someone else? Nah, that can't be, because the common denominator is you all six times. That's five different people, six different people, seven different people. That's nine different coaches. And every last one of them is at fault, and you bear no culpability. I refuse to believe that. This situation, he should at one point go to bat for one person. Go to bat for one person.
Right. One. That's it. That's one. And here's the deal, Shannon. To be fair, because we want to be fair to LeBron James. I mean, Rich Paul and Maverick and the crew are watching. I mean, God forbid that we're unfair in any way. I mean, Lord have mercy. Stop the presses, okay? But here's the deal. To just throw out, most career head coaches, all right, 10 or more career, you know, players with 10 or more career NBA All-Star selections, okay? Moses Malone had 13 coaches in 19 seasons. Tied for number one with Shaquille O'Neal. 13 coaches, 19 seasons. Patrick Ewing, 11 coaches, 17 seasons. Carmelo Anthony, 11 in 19. Allen Iverson, 10 in 14 years. Bob Pettit, 10 in 11 years. Kobe Bryant, 10 in 20 seasons. Kobe Bryant, okay. Kevin Garnett, 9 in 21 seasons. LeBron James, now 9 in 21 seasons. And Jason Kidd, congratulations to him. He just got his contract extension. He deserves it. 9 in 19 seasons. So we're not saying just because you've had these coaches that ultimately compromises you to some degree. What I'm saying, Shannon, is every voice that I gave you, maybe with the exception of Patrick Ewing, who just didn't talk. He was like Kawhi Leonard before Kawhi Leonard to some degree, at least to a small degree anyway. But outside of that, all of these brothers were outspoken. They didn't mind speaking their mind. And they didn't leave room for you to wonder and to contemplate and to take into consideration. Nor did they have a crew that was willing to pounce on you when you uttered the wrong or the slightest negative syllable in their direction. They handled their own business.
Right.
This man, LeBron James, when it comes to coaches, we hear crickets. And he wants us to believe he has nothing to do with it. Well, it doesn't vibe when you're one of the greatest who have ever lived. You having nothing to do with it is an impossibility. It is impossible that you've had nothing to do with these coaches being gone.
Right. It's hard for anybody to fathom. There have been guys with less cachet that had influence. You mean to tell me one of the three guys that had the most influence in league history has no influence on who comes and goes? I'm talking about zero? He has no say.
Come on, man.
Nobody believes that. Nobody. But I get why. Because here's the thing. I've got to maintain an image, Stephen A. I've got to do that.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Electric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod.
1, 2, 3, action. If I was playing, Boston would be at home. New York, damn sure would be at home. Josh Hart, Josh Hart.
What
does that mean to me? Josh Hart.
Yo,
stop. Come on, man. Nah, I love Tibbs, but I don't want to. I love Tibbs. I love you, baby. I want to beat you to a pulp. You want me. I don't want you. It's like a one-sided relationship. You in love with me, and I love you, but I'm not in love with you. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Stephen A., you heard Jimmy Buckets. What is your reaction? Do you agree?
I don't know, believe it or not. That's not an answer that I normally give. I will tell you that I firmly believe that if Julius Randle were healthy for the Knicks were fully healthy and the Miami Heat were healthy. I wanted that series. I wanted New York in a rematch against Miami. I think New York could have taken them. But the New York Knicks without Julius Randle, but Miami having Jimmy Butler, the way that I saw the New York Knicks at times struggle. I know Jalen Brunson's going to get his, but against Jimmy Buckets, I don't blame him for feeling that way. And I want to say this. He's earned the right to say it because he took the Knicks out last year. Okay, that's number one. And number two, when you look at what you've seen from the Miami Heat, they were in the finals two of the previous four seasons. So I have no shade to throw in Jimmy Butler's direction, because if that had been somebody else on the Miami Heat saying that, I would have my backup. But for Jimmy Butler, nah, I'm in no position to definitively decry what he is saying, because he went on the court backed up. Shannon, I told you that story last year, right? Jimmy Butler and I have known each other for years. You're a Miami, a member of the Miami Heat. Udonis Haslem knows this. They come playoff time. They're locked in. They're locked down. They don't talk. They don't talk to nobody, all right? Jimmy Butler just smokes the Milwaukee Bucks, takes them out, and I'm worried. And again, I ain't heard from nobody. And it's like 11:30 at night. I got a text message from Jimmy Butler last year. And all it said was, y'all are next. That's it. And I said, damn. And right at that moment, I knew my Knicks were in trouble. You know, so I know better than challenging Jimmy Butler to some degree. I really do.
Well, it's hard to disagree with Jimmy Butler's playoff resume because we've seen them be undermanned and where we think they're going to lose a series. We see them do it to Boston. We've seen them do it to Milwaukee. It doesn't matter. They've somehow found a way to get out of there and get it to the and get to the finals. Dealing with these hypotheticals, I hate them. But I can't say that I would disagree with him. Because if you bet against the Miami Heat in a playoff situation with Spoelstra as their head coach and playoff Jimmy, nah, who's going to pick against them? Do I think they would have beat Boston this year? Maybe not if Porzingis gets hurt. Now, if Porzingis gets hurt, it might be a whole different ball game, Stephen A. They need Porzingis because he's the guy that unlocks Tatum and Brown. Without him, that might be a different story. But it's hard to say he's lying, given what we've seen from him since he's been in Miami, taking Milwaukee down twice, dropped 57 on him, what was that, game 5, game 6 last year. What he did to Boston, goes into the Garden in a game 7. It's hard to say he's lying. It's hard to say he's lying, Stephen A.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Electric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod.